The last point is marriage is a sacrificial relationship. Marriage is a sacrificial relationship. This is pillar number three. We are now hitting the home run and we'll be done pretty soon. Now, the perception you have regarding your marriage will determine how you treat the marriage in the long run. The perception that you have with regards to marriage will determine how you treat the marriage. So society portrays marriage in a very skewed way, and unfortunately, it has trickled into the church, into the body of Christ. But we need to subscribe to a godly view. So what is the biblical view of the marriage relationship? Well, marriage is not a contract, but a covenant. This is so fundamental, so basic, and we know it. Now, every believer who's been around long enough will tell you that statement, that marriage is a covenant and not a marriage, and not a contract. The sad part is that we know it mentally, but we fail to walk in it fully. So when we think of marriage, we usually do so in terms of a contract rather than a covenant. Now, there are two aspects to a marriage. There is a legal aspect where you've got to go sign and legalize your union for you to be recognized as Mr. and Mrs. That is fine. We need to do that. And we encourage people not to cohabitate, to live in relationships that are not formalized, to protect yourselves legally. It is so important. And people who cohabitate, they think it's okay just to stay together without legalizing their union. One, it's sinful in the eyes of God. Two, you are trading on a very thin slate that if something happens, you will lose whatever you have. There's no legal basis to protect your union. And stats tell us that there's a higher rate of divorce amongst people who cohabitated before they tied the knot. You can go and do your own research and you'll see this. Now, I want us to explore the difference between a covenant and a contract. Very, very key. The way you view your marriage, legally, yes, you go and sign, but spiritually, we need to translate that legal process into something more deeper and something more secure, which is a covenant. So there is a distinction there. Let's look at this table. The one on the left-hand side is marriage as a contract, and on the right-hand side is marriage as a covenant. Number one, contracts are temporary and typically have a timeline. They have a time limit. And this is where you hear people saying, I am in as long as the relationship works. Those are people who have a perception of a marriage as a contract. I'm in as long as it works. If we fight too much, we cut ties, you go your own way, I go my own way. That's how you look at it. But a covenant, covenants are intended to be permanent until death do us part. That's the heart. That's our intention, saints. When we say I do, we're saying, Lord, by grace, help us, because we want this union to be for life. And that is what a covenant is. So what do you say? I give all myself to you, and I am committed to this marriage for life. I am committed to this marriage for life. Number two, contracts don't allow room for forgiveness. If you struggle to forgive, maybe your perception of marriage is more contractual than covenantal. Contracts do not allow room for forgiveness. That is why we've got clauses. If you breach a clause, basically you have violated the contract and the other party can pull out of the contract. Contracts have got no room for forgiveness, but covenants are anchored in forgiveness. Covenants do not condone bad behavior, but ready to forgive. We are not saying just be a doormat, but you are ready to forgive. You are ready to forgive. Contractually, you breach one of the clauses, the contract is null and void. Number three. Contracts are impersonal and do not consider the personal virtue of those involved. There are no feelings involved when we are contractually involved. As long as one delivers what was promised, all other things don't matter. As long as you do your reports, as long as I bring the cash, doesn't matter if I've got a side chick. Doesn't matter. I bring the money. They'll ask you, haven't I paid the bills? Haven't I paid the house? Haven't I bought food here? So what is the problem? Contracts will bring you to that place. But covenants, on the other side, a covenant stresses the personal virtue of those involved. Those involved live by virtues. Virtues like fidelity, honesty, caring, and being kind. It's no longer a case of, I paid the bills, therefore I can run off with another side chick. You say, I paid the bills, what else can I do to make life easy for you? Right? I've prepared the meal, what else can I do to make life easy for you? That is what covenant does. It involves the personal virtues of the two. Faithfulness, being kind, being caring, being candid with one another. Those issues are very important. Number four, contracts can be employed with relational detachment. I really don't need to see your face, man. Just send me the document. I'll sign on the dotted line and we've got a deal. That's what a contract does. So if you are in a marriage and you see it as a contract, you are relationally detached. Your soft side is never seen by your children. Your soft side is never seen by your spouse. You are not able to say, I'm sorry. You are not able to mourn with her when she's mourning. But when you are in a covenant, wow, things are different. Covenants are deeply seated in relationship. They were naked, but were not ashamed. Talk about being intimate. Talk about being vulnerable with one another. They were naked, but were never ashamed. This shows the levels of intimacy and openness a wife and a husband can have when it's covenant. Number five, contracts place personal needs first. It's about me, I need to protect myself. That is why when you enter into a lease agreement, the lease agreement is highly tilted towards the lessor, not the lessee. They want to protect their property. They want to make sure that if something happens, you're the one who loses, not them. Is that how we run our marriages? They place personal needs first, but covenants place the needs of the relationship first. So it's no longer my need or your need, it's our needs. It's the needs of this relationship that determines who wins. So it's not my need that determines who wins the argument. So the determinant of the winner of the argument is the union, not me. No one must ever feel they've lost out after an argument. Whatever win we come up after intense fellowship, it must be a win for the union, a win for the marriage. Are we together? Okay. Contracts are neutral regarding holiness. They are secular in nature. So they are neutral in terms of holiness. So the point here is that it doesn't matter if there are any other undertone deals happening around the time of contracting. As long as we sign on the dotted line, who cares what else happens? But a covenant, covenants emphasize holiness. Marriage is therefore holy. Holiness, the word holy means set apart. When you are saying my marriage is holy, you are saying I am set apart for my marriage. I am set apart for my spouse. That's what holiness means. Is being set apart. Number seven, contracts are steeped in distrust, hence the many clauses that make up a contract. The bigger the money at hand, the bigger the thickness of the contract. The more clauses that you have to read through, fine with a fine comb, to just see exactly what are the issues here, because they will tell you when you sign there, you have ceded all your rights. It's because there's distrust here. When it comes to covenants, covenants are built around an expectation of trust. A covenant means you are trustworthy. You are a trustworthy person making a lifetime promise. Making a lifetime promise. So those are the main differences around contracts and covenants. And I need you to go home and do an introspection of how you've been managing your marriages and say, has this been on contractual basis or on covenantal basis? So what is the long and short of this? Christian marriage is not about getting. It's about giving. It's about giving. Now, there's an exercise there that we're not going to do now because of time. I'm going to ask you as you go home to look at Philippians 2, verse 3 to 4. And then you need to write down the attitudes that are found in that scripture. When you are done with identifying the three attitudes found in the scriptures, I want you to take time and discuss the pointers that are there with your wife as to what is your understanding of the three attributes and how are they reflected in your relationship? Where do you fit on the scale of loving your spouse? Rate yourself against the checklist below. There is a checklist at the bottom. This is an exercise that will really trigger a lot of conversation. It's a conversation starter where you're able to be vulnerable with one another around the different aspects that we find in the scripture, Philippians chapter 2. Our time is 10 to 12, and we're going to finish here. We're supposed to finish at 5:30, and I went ahead beyond by 20 minutes. I want us to close off just debriefing and hearing what stood out for you so that we can just try and wrap up today's session. Anyone who wants to just bring us into their take home, as I said, I don't think there's anything new that I shared with you today. It was just a reminder